when Al Gore comes to South Park, he tells the kids about this deadly creature called Man Bear Pig, and it's going to destroy their lives, and they must do something about Man Bear Pig. The South Park boys understand that man-made global warming is a fantastical creature. All I was lucky enough to do was to go trawling through the internet one day, read the rather wonderful website What's Up With That, and realize that a very exciting story was breaking. ClimateGate was a leak of emails from the University of East Anglia. What they showed is that the scientists at the very heart of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's reports into global warming, that these guys were torturing the evidence until it screamed. They were suppressing the views of scientists with dissenting voices. They were generally behaving like very, very bad boys, you know. And what these emails suggested was, hang on a second, these guys are telling us in their reports the science is settled. But how can we trust these guys when we see what they get up to in these emails? My story got drudged. It caught the popular imagination. By the end of that week, ClimateGate had 30 million Google hits. ClimateGate was a game changer, and at the same time, it changed absolutely nothing. Let me explain. ClimateGate showed these scientists in action being naughty, whereas previously there wasn't so much evidence that they were doing it deliberately. This caught them red-handed. Now that was the first part, and that's why we all got very excited. We thought, well, hang on a second, the scam is over. It's all going to be that they won't dare have the chutzpah to carry on trying to cheat us in this way. What actually happened? There were three, or was it four, official inquiries, independent inquiries into ClimateGate, and guess what? They found the ClimateGate scientists innocent of any kind of wrongdoing. Nothing to see here. Move along. That was the message we got from those investigations. It's not about the science. It is about politics. You know, according to the theory, as CO2 levels, anthropogenic CO2 levels, that is, the stuff we make in factories and stuff, as those anthropogenic CO2 levels rise dramatically, so global temperatures will rise with it. But actually, they haven't been. There's been no global warming since 1998. Well, CO2 hasn't stopped rising, so it must be slightly more complicated than these doom-mongers are saying. I think I can speak for pretty much everyone on my side of the argument. We are not in it for the lies. All we want is for open debate, for the truth to get out. If the data, real data as opposed to adjusted data, if the real data shows that the world is getting dangerously hot, and that there is a definite connection between anthropogenic CO2 and global warming, then hey, we'll start addressing that problem. Because, you know, I mean, if it is that serious, it's going to affect us all. But what we don't believe in is this smearing and lies and this idea that it is wrong simply to even question the orthodoxy. The global warming industry is worth trillions. It's often said that the most expensive scientific experiment in the history of mankind was the Manhattan Project. So far, in real terms, around five times the Manhattan Project has been spent on research into man-made global warming. You can buy a lot of vested interests, a lot of businessmen, a lot of politicians for that kind of money. I think a lot of people, when they're watching the No Pressure video, could be forgiven for assuming that this is a pastiche done by people on my side of the argument to satirise the extremist impulses of the warmists. It's nothing of the kind.
The idea is everyone starts cutting their carbon emissions by 10%, thus keeping the planet safe for everyone, eventually. Now, this hasn't got to be a huge thing, but I would love it if you and your families would think about doing something.
What sort of thing, miss?
Well, like getting your dad to insulate the loft, or taking your next holiday by train instead of flying, or buying energy-saving light bulbs.
We're thinking of using our car less. I'm going to cycle to school.
That's fantastic, Jemima. Now, no pressure at all, but it'd be great to get a sense of how many of you might do this. Just a rough percentage. That's fantastic! And there's Nora. Philip and Tracy. That's fine, that's absolutely fine. Your own choice. Okay, class, thank you so much for today, and I will see you all tomorrow. Oh! Just before you go, I just need to press this little button here. Now everybody,
you imagine if the children were executed for being gay or Muslim or something. I mean, can you imagine the outcry? Yet these guys, this team, led by Richard Curtis in the Guardian newspaper, Sony, David Ginola, one of the world's top footballers, was in it. Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. These people, they were all involved in the project. And not one of them at any stage in the making of this video said to themselves, hang on a second, are we seriously suggesting that climate change deniers should be executed? It was quite good to see that a lot of people who would have been considered themselves sympathetic to the aims of this campaign, you know, reducing our carbon emissions by 10% by 2010, found themselves sickened and perhaps to a degree had their eyes opened to what is going on in the green movement. I called the book Watermelons because they're green on the outside but red on the inside. After the Berlin Wall came down, the communist movement, the global leftist movement, was left in a bit of a quandary. They'd pretty much lost the economic argument. They needed somewhere else to go. And global warming has become the great proxy issue. It enables them to achieve many of the same aims as before, but under a cloak of green righteousness. This book, although it is about global warming, is about something, in fact, much, much bigger than that. It is about a global takeover by fascism, communism, call it what you will, their aims are much the same. It is about control. There is a very good answer to those who say that this book sounds like conspiracy theory, and that is go and read what the United Nations says. Go and read what people like Maurice Strong say. Go and read people like Rachel Carson, Paul Ehrlich. These are the heroes of the green movement. And the things they talk about are things like the need to limit population, to control population, to rein in economic growth, to preserve scarce resources for future generations, essentially through rationing. I don't look at population and the human race and think there is an evil that must be eradicated, as indeed one of the great documents of the Green Movement says, you know, limits to growth. The earth has a cancer and the cancer is man. This is what the Club of Rome says. I don't think man is a cancer. I think that, you know, by and large, we're okay and we do good to the planet. As economic growth happens, so we have more money to spend on cleaning up rivers, on making our environment more beautiful, on making land more productive, so that we have to use less of it to make more food for more people. What's not to like about that?